This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. Here in the studio with me is Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran for his monthly show on local government. This month we'll be talking about the maintenance of low-cost flats. So if you have a question, give us a call at 03-7710-9000, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Rajiv, welcome.
Hi, it's good to be back.
So, this is your final show of the year.
Yes, Christmas is coming soon.
How has 2017 been for you? Are there any highlights, lowlights?
It's definitely been a tough year. And I think this is one of the years that have just flew by. Mm-hmm. It's already so fast at the end of the year.
It's like this every year, isn't it? So, the reason why we wanted to talk about low-cost flat maintenance is because you wrote an op-ed in Malaysia Kini, and you feel strongly that it should be maintained by the government. Tell us about that.
Yes. I wrote that piece, and I think one of the many aspects of housing that is out there that needs to be dealt with is the maintenance of flats and apartments. It is not just low cost flats, actually. It's all flats. Now we have just for definition, we have from the one end of the spectrum, we have PPR, the Perumahan Rakyat. These are government-owned flats that the government rents out to people for 124 ringgit or 250 ringgit, depending on how poor you are. Then you've got low-cost flats. These are privately owned flats at the lowest end of the spectrum, typically sold at 42,000 ringgit, some 35,000 ringgit. Then you've got low-medium cost flats, which are slightly bigger. You've got medium cost flats, which are a bit more bigger. It's at probably about 850 square feet. And then you've got the free market flats that maybe can go up to 300,000-400,000 ringgit. So in Malaysia, we face a challenge with the maintenance of these flats. Typically, condominiums are better managed. So condominiums are normally differentiated from flats in the sense that they have facilities like swimming pools, gyms, security guards, a fully fenced up area. Condominiums are typically more expensive and typically occupied by people of higher income and probably you could equate that with having better education levels and of more professional traits, and thus they are better equipped to manage their facility and keep up the quality. But flats in Malaysia, especially low-cost flats, but even some medium-cost flats, normally have challenges in upkeeping the property. And that's something that's often overlooked. Now, we looked at the last 1 month. There's been a lot of debate with regards to housing in the newspaper, especially in the business sections. And the debate has been, should we put the freeze on 1 million ringgit condominiums or not? Mm-hmm. And it's been flip-flopping back and forth, and you've had both sides of the political divide shoot each other on it. And that may be an important issue, but at the same time, we seem to not be talking enough on the plight of the B40, especially the lower segment of the B40 who are living in these low-cost flats and medium-cost flats. And they continue to live in this housing no matter what happens to the rich. And a lot of them suffer with poor surroundings. And it can definitely be improved. And that's why I wrote that piece. It's something I think we all should wake up to.
So what is why do you think the system that we have now is unfair?
So the system that we have in Malaysia is one that the owners of all the units in a particular strata development are responsible for managing that strata development. So if you look at low-cost flats, let's say the development has 200 units. So all 200 unit owners are required to attend AGMs every year to appoint a committee. A committee is typically about 5 to 12 people, and that committee will then run the management. This is the same system that applies to 10 million ringgit condominiums, 500,000 ringgit condominiums, as well as the 42,000 ringgit low-cost flats. With the condominiums, you tend to get sufficient quorum, and a committee is elected, and a committee that is sufficiently competent to appoint proper security guards, proper maintenance crews to maintain the condominium. But when it comes to low-cost flats, the first challenge that we have is The owners don't come for these AGMs. So the first AGM ever is called by the developer. The developer will normally cajole people to come for the AGM, because when the first AGM is formed, the developer washes their hand off the project. So people will come, normally maybe with the pretext of free makan or something. They meet the quorum and they are encouraged to appoint a committee. And sometimes the committee, like I've seen cases in my constituency, that the committee does not realize what they're getting themselves into.
Is there a threshold when the developer has to call an AGM?
Normally within 1 year of within the first year of the project being completed.
So, what if there's no take up or no one is living there?
So then that's the problem. So we have the problem of no AGMs and then there's no committee, and then no one maintains the flats. No one takes charge. Everyone what tatau.
Right.
And this is a problem plaguing half the low-cost flats. So we have about 1,000 blocks of low-cost flats in Selangor, and about half of them have no committee at all.
So it's a limbo area where...
It's in limbo. So right. Some of them are still maintained by the developer many, many years on, and some of them are just not maintained by anyone. And it's fallen into such great, terrible states because no one is taking care. And residents maybe do their little bit. They sweep the corridors. Someone may change the light bulb when needed. But by and large, no one takes care of the common property. They just take care of their little parcel, their flat itself. But someone's got to take care of the common property. So every strata property will have the most basic common properties, which is your corridors, your staircase. Now, if you're more than 4 or 5 stories high, you have lifts. This is where the big problem lies. If there's no committee and no one's taking care of the lifts aren't going to last very long. They're going to break down. For a while, they'll function, but not for long. And then you have water tanks, a common water tank at the top of the flats, and water pumps. So these are the things that needs maintenance. And this is where you need proper management companies to be taking care, and you need committees to be formed. So that's the current system, and it's not working out too well. Now, not every flat, I need to put a disclaimer out there, not every flat is like this. There are few examples of success stories where even though it's low-cost flats, the residents have come together, have elected good, well-working committees, and they have been maintaining their flats very, very well. So there are some sterling examples out there, but those are the minority. By and large, most of them are not.
Say if there's no management committee formed, who is in charge of like water or rubbish collection and things like that?
So oftentimes the developer still hangs around and does the minimal. That happens especially with PKNS flats, because PKNS was the developer, so PKNS does not wash their hands and run away. Being government linked, it's quite hard for them to do so. Certain other developers like Sime Darby and whatnot, I've seen them hang around. Certain other developers, they just go away. So in the case where no one's there maintaining, the COB, Commissioner of Building, so you've got a Commissioner of Building in every local council, the COB has the power under the Strata Management Act to appoint a maintenance company to collect maintenance fees and do the maintenance. But the problem with low-cost flats is not many maintenance companies want this job. So the COB can appoint someone, but most private companies do not want to get involved in this because it's very difficult to collect maintenance fees, especially for a building that has been not maintained for the last 10 years and no one is in the mood to pay maintenance fees. So private companies tend to shy away from this. And that makes it quite difficult. But where the COB can appoint, there has been cases and the COB has appointed. But it's not that easy to go down that route because private companies want to look at maintaining office buildings. They want to maintain condominiums which have better payment track record.
So why do people not want to form GMBs?
There could be various reasons. Maybe they don't understand how things work. Maybe they just don't have the time, especially when you are in that income bracket. You've got a lot of pressing priorities and this may not be a priority for you. So for various reasons, they just don't come for AGMs. And they, even if they come for AGMs, they don't want to sit on the committee. So it's quite challenging. We look at the 16 blocks of PKNS flats in Section 70 in my area. We can't form the managing committee. The owners just don't want to be part of it.
Did they say why?
They just don't want the responsibility. And it's understandable they've got their plates full. I mean, these are not people just hanging around sitting under a tree. They are working hard, maybe working multiple jobs to make ends meet. So it is understandable why a lot of them do not want to take on an additional burden, especially an unpaying job, a thankless job, that you probably will be cursed left and right by your neighbors. Yeah. Because when things don't go right, they'll be like, hey, you're in charge. You're supposed to get things right. So everyone just says, no, not me.
Is that not the crux of the problem then, that the JMB have to be formed by a committee made up of owners or occupiers who are on a voluntary basis?
Yeah, so that is, to me, the crux of the problem. The system, I mean, we have set up a system that, to me, is not really the right way to govern strata living. Now, when the Strata Act was first created, I think it was in the 80s, low-cost properties were typically low-cost terrace houses. You didn't have many strata buildings, and strata buildings tend to be the high-end expat condos. And this system would work well for those buildings. But then when we have to have middle-income, low-income families living in high-rise, low-cost homes, I think the system has to change with the times. And this system is, while suitable and well and good for the higher-end properties, it just does not work. And what I advocate is that government should take over the responsibility of maintenance. Now, is this really unheard of? I would say no. Because if you look at landed property, now a lot of our listeners out there, you live in terrace houses, you live in landed property. Outside your property line, government takes care of everything. Government takes care of the drains, the grass cutting, the road, and whatnot. You just take care of things within your property line. Now, why should the same standards not apply to low-income families living in flats? That within their property line, they take care of their house. But outside their property line, why should government not take care of the common property of the building? And let's say the things like the staircase, the corridors, the parking, and whatnot. Because that would be then fair. And right now, the middle-income people who are living in these terrace houses actually have it better off, because they have less responsibility. You know, residents of a particular residential taman, they don't have to get together and form a management corporation and elect a committee to manage the common property, i.e. the road and the drains and the playground and the day one. They don't have to. Government does it all for them. And they just have the luxury of complaining to their local council. They have the luxury to complain to their councillors, their state assemblymen, to get all these things fixed. They don't have to roll up their sleeves, work together, and it's not just the effort and time, but even money. They don't have to pay for it. Government pays for all this maintenance. But why is it, when it comes to low cost flats, their day one, their playground, their parking is all under the responsibility of the JMB or the MC, and the residents have to take care of it? So it's not quite a fair system. The system of the common property being managed and paid for and managed in effort by the residents works well for condominium. When the condominium says, you know, our area is private, no one can come and park without our permission, no one can enter the guardhouse through the guardhouse without permission, and no one can swim in our swimming pool without permission. This is our private property. And so we take responsibility and we bear the financial cost of maintaining the common property. But when it comes to a low-cost flat, their day one, they have to maintain. But when it comes to a terrace house residential taman, they don't have to maintain their day one. Local government maintains it. So I think today we are opening a can of worms. stirring the hornet's nest. I think in the interest of social justice, this needs to be discussed. This needs to be brought out. And it's about time we look at changing the system to, first of all, make it fair. Make it fair on everyone. And second of all, to make it work in the sense that the current expecting JMBs and MCs to manage low-cost flats is just not working out. We have been having a boom of strata properties in the last 15 years, and the evidence is just there. It's just not working out. So we need to look at changing the system.
Well, we'll come back and find out how we got to where we are today, and as well as this mentality of not wanting to pay after this short break. I'm speaking today to Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran, and we're talking about the maintenance of low-cost flats. If you have a question, you can call us at 03-7710-9000. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Sik. With me today is Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishakaran, talking about an article he wrote last month about the challenges of maintaining low-cost flats. Rajiv, you kind of lay out the current situation and the challenging landscape on why it's hard to organize, or for people or residents in low-cost flats to self-organize and create a sustainable system. But I was wondering, how did we arrive at this law, and why, because it's amended a few times, why wasn't it amended to make it more feasible to adapt to the challenges that you see in low-cost flats?
I think that's an interesting question. The Strata Act has been amended a number of times. But I think up to today, there's no indication from the government that they are interested in taking on this additional responsibility. It is definitely an additional responsibility. One of the things I've done is to call out on the minister, Noh Omar. He has been a very good Santa Claus ever since becoming minister. He goes around very actively. To his credit, he does go around to all the low-cost flats all over Selangor, especially in constituencies that are 50-50, likely for BN to respect from PKR, and dishes out goodies to these low-cost flats. So he will promise to repair lifts, paint the buildings, and whatnot. And I think that very act of having to go from low-cost flat to low-cost flat and promising handouts in the form of these fixes is very telling. It demonstrates a failure of the system to deal with the maintenance of these flats. Now, if all these flats are maintained, they need to be painted every 5 to 7 years. They need to have regular maintenance on the lifts. The pumps that serve the water system need to be maintained every month or every quarter. If this maintenance is done regularly, then things won't break down the way they are breaking down today. So I call upon the minister. You are very active in visiting low-cost flats. It's time to realize that it's not a one-off problem that one or two flats face. It's a system-wide problem, and it's time that we change the system. So now, is there hesitation? Of course, because for two reasons. One, it's a lot of work to take on. Maintaining one building is hefty to maintain thousands of blocks of flats. Not only throughout Selangor, but throughout Malaysia, is a lot. Now, in Selangor, we have about 180,000 units of low-cost units in about 1,000 blocks. So different blocks have different amount of units, but approximately over 1,000 blocks, 180,000 units of low-cost flats. That's not the majority in the country, actually. Malaysia-wide, based on information published by the Finance Ministry, there's about 460,000 low-cost flats. Now, this does not include the medium-cost flats. So in Selangor, we have a further 100,000 medium-cost flats. So that's a lot of work. You need to have a huge team of competent people which have the endurance to power through and get going into doing this. So it's a huge undertaking to do. I will concede that. Financially as well, it's going to cost the government. Now, if we talk to a lot of property managers, they come up to a cost that around 45 ringgit per flat on average to maintain. So if you look at the case of Selangor, it's going to cost around 100 million ringgit a year to maintain all the low-cost flats in Selangor properly. We collect maintenance fees. Maintenance fees can probably cover half to two-thirds of this. And the issue of the maintenance fees not being paid today can be resolved once flats are run properly. So sometimes it's a chicken and egg. A lot of people say, what for pay maintenance fees? Things are falling apart.
You said we collect maintenance fee, meaning?
Meaning whoever who's maintaining. Right. So right now, the JMBs, the MCs that maintain, they collect maintenance fees. So if you look at low cost today, it's easily less than 50% payment rate. In fact, many low cost flats have less than 20%, less than 10% payment rate. A lot of owners just don't pay.
And so you say the average is that maintenance fee only cover up to two-thirds of what is required to maintain.
Currently, the maintenance fees does not cover, it only covers a fraction of what is needed to maintain. Because people don't pay. But if, let's say, everyone pays, based on conversations that I have, 45 ringgit a month, which is what is the fees in most flats anyway, would be enough to cover the cost if everyone pays. Mm. So we have a problem that is actually manageable, because for the, let's say in the case of Selangor, to take on maintaining 180,000 flats at approximately 100 million ringgit a year, it's not out of this world. It's definitely something doable, and it's more importantly something that's fair. Because for the last 50 years, we have had no problems maintaining landed estates, you know, landed housing areas. We go in, we take care of the roads, their drains and everything. And why don't we extend the same courtesy?
There's a listener here who would like to challenge your point on that
landed
property owners have it easier, because there's listeners saying via WhatsApp that local councils need to maintain streets, garbage collection and so on and so forth, because terrace houses pay cukai pintu.
Well, low-cost flats and medium-cost flats also pay cukai pintu. And this is the reality. Everyone pays cukai pintu. And everyone pays the cukai pintu or the assessment rate based on the same formula. It's always a percentage of the annual rental value of that property. So in PJ, we pay 8%. In places like Subang Jaya, they pay 5%. Different councils have different rates. But the formula is always based on a percentage of your annual rental value. So everyone pays cukai pintu. From the low-cost flats to the richest bungalow to a high-end condominium, everyone pays cukai pintu, just to be fair.
Okay, Mr. Boon, I hope that answers your query. So, before we went to that, if we were to go by your suggestion, why not push this responsibility to local councils?
It could be. Now, that's why I've been using the word government should take over. Because in Malaysia, we have three tiers of government. You've got the federal, state and local governments. It could be any of the three tiers that takes on this responsibility. And I'm actually okay with any of the three tiers taking over. But I think it's the principle that government should take over. It could be local councils, definitely.
And how much would it cost?
It'll cost the same. I mean, it's like I've got the numbers that it... Maintenance cost is around 100 million. For the initial period, we'll probably be able to recover half from maintenance fees, and half would have to be subsidized by the government. So the net outlay among all the local councils in Selangor would be around 50 million ringgit.
So with the current resources that Selangor has, this is an under something that would be
it will be
achievable.
Big. It will be big, but it is achievable.
Okay. What can be done then to decrease the level of defaulters?
Okay, so I think when we look at defaulters, there are basically a few reasons why people don't pay. The first reason is because they are frustrated with the level of maintenance in their flat. So a lot of defaulters that I talk to say that, you know, things are crappy around here. You know, no one's maintaining, the corridor lights are not working, no one is sweeping the corridors, no one is cleaning the staircase, people urinate in the staircase and no one cleans it up. So the living conditions is crappy. Why should I pay any maintenance fees? I'm protesting. So you've got that kind of defaulter. And I think this kind of defaulter would ease down when we have proper maintenance. So sometimes it's a chicken and egg. Do you have proper maintenance before you can collect the fees efficiently, or do you have to collect the fees first and then only maintain? So it's kind of a chicken and egg. And I think to break this impasse, government should step in and get things moving, get flats moving. And another group of defaulters is that, okay, I don't mind paying, but wait lah, when they come and chase me, then only I'll pay. And a lot of these are the landlords. They don't live there. They own a unit, but they live in a nice terrace house somewhere else or a nice condominium somewhere else. And they just wait it out. I mean, as long as no one is chasing, as long as they don't get a legal letter demanding the payment of this outstanding, then okay, you just
but
wait and
interests
pay.
But there are interest and extra charges and fees.
And that's the thing. So will there be interest and extra charges? A lot of times, there are no interest and extra charges for late payment.
Right.
A lot of times, where there's management, they are happy enough to collect the outstanding payment. So things like interest and late charges are oftentimes not applicable in Malaysia when it comes to low-cost flats, maintenance fees. So then you've got the third category of people who are just so poor. They're living in the unit, they earn a few hundred ringgit a month, and they're barely making ends meet, and they're just not able to pay it. So we've got a variety of reasons why people don't pay. And I think we should be able to deal with them. Enforcement is lacking. I think there was an article in the Star maybe a month or two ago that a number of defaulters have been hauled to court. But the government is not hauling people to court fast enough. Now, if you don't pay your maintenance, it's an offence. You can be charged in court and you can be fined 5,000 ringgit for not paying the maintenance fees. So this is like an extra 5,000, up to 5,000 ringgit above and beyond the maintenance fees that you have to pay to the flat. So I reckon most owners who are capable of paying, as soon as they receive that summons to court, would immediately settle their outstanding debt. So these are the problems that we face. And without effective management, going after the defaulters would be definitely, won't be effective. If you've got good, if you've got economics of scale, you've got one body managing all the low-cost flats in, let's say, one local authority area or throughout the state or even throughout the country, going after defaulters would be much more efficient.
Would you know why, I guess, the high-rise property developers lobby did not include this in when they're lobbying to change the Strata Management Act?
I think management is not really the concern of developers. Maybe if you need a lot of time to lobby for any change, and I would expect developers to lobby for changes that affects the building and selling of houses rather than the maintenance of houses, because by the time vacant possession is given and the developers are done, and after the defect liability period, the warranty period is up, they are gone. And they moved on to the next project. So maintenance is not really their core business.
Okay. So residents of low-cost flats, when faced with this kind of environment, if you know, they see the conditions around them are dilapidated and there are no management office around them, can they go to their local councillors or
they could.
Assistance? And what kind of assistance can they expect to get?
The best form of assistance is, to me, the best form of help today under the present system is that we should help them form their management committee. All right. So all we need is five people in a particular low-cost development to say, you know what, we'll step up and we'll do something. And then we can do an AGM, encourage people to come out, support these five people who want to represent them and do something. And then with some ownership, things would take place. And now you've got five people running the show. They can appoint cleaners. They can appoint lift maintenance companies and whatnot. And also go after people who are not paying maintenance fees and run the show. So this has actually been done successfully, but it's a very, very difficult goal to achieve, because a lot of flats, you just don't have that five people. We're not talking about 100 people. We're not talking about 50% of the flat owners. We're just talking about five. Mm-hmm. And we can't find five in most developments. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge. So if you and your neighbor, if you live in one and you and your neighbors are interested in getting together, then that's great. In fact, I got a call this morning from someone living in a low-cost flat. And he was complaining about this and that and the upkeep and how things are bad. And I was like, are you willing to be part of the committee? And you're not. You're not. Your neighbors are not. And your particular low-cost flat does not have a management committee and has not had one in forever because none of you are interested. Mm-hmm. And then you complain that why is no one taking care of the building? Right. Now, if the COB is able to appoint someone, a maintenance company to step in, then that's great. But it's very difficult because a lot of maintenance companies, let's be fair to them. Companies exist to break even and make money, not to just do charity. So a lot of companies will look at a particular project or a particular development and look at it and say, it's like, okay, there are 200 units of flats here. How many will pay? And if no one's going to pay the maintenance fees, we don't have money to maintain. So there's no point getting in and tarnishing our name. So it's very hard to appoint companies into this to do these jobs.
Do you see this unwillingness to step up or pay the maintenance fee, even among landed property owners who are trying to self-organize to set up gated communities?
I think in the case of landed properties, you see a mixed bag. A lot of them have organized in recent years purely for security reasons. So they pay not a maintenance fee, but a kind of a subscription fee to their resident association to run these gated and guarded services. It's purely voluntary. Unlike the strata properties, there is no law to compel anyone to pay this 50 ringgit or 80 ringgit a month for security fees. And some neighborhoods have got it right, and some neighborhoods just can't take off. Some neighborhoods that you would consider affluent. Many sections in PJ really have been waiting and trying for years to take off, and they just can't get enough people to subscribe, and so they can't launch their gated and guarded scheme. And it's a mixed bag. So you've got some that can do it and some that can't do it. But by and large, these are the additional frills or, you know, additional services above and beyond what basic maintenance. So when we look back at maintenance, I think it's time for a revamp to give a level playing field at least.
If you have a question about strata management and maintenance fee, give us a call at 03-7710-9000 or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking about the law, and since it has been enforced and raids have been happened, and as you mentioned, summons have been issued, has the problem or issue seen, has it been decreasing?
No, definitely not, because the number of enforcement action for defaulters is just too little. Now, I don't think there's even 100 people charged for defaulting, and there's at least 100,000 low-cost flat units that are not paying maintenance fees. So it's a drop in the bucket. It's not enough to create fear, if I may say so.
Are local councillors the one who are on the front lines doing these raids?
No, not local councils per se. It's normally the housing board. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And so if... Is there... Maybe the budget can be... spend on doing some of this enforcement action while, you know, we get more long-term solution.
Yeah, absolutely. That couldn't be one of the starts. So, you know, dear Minister, besides giving out free water tanks and paint as you visit all the low-cost flats, consider this as well. Consider improving enforcement to improve payment rates. That's important, but that's still not the underlying solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Vandalism, how do you reduce it?
All right, so vandalism is a problem, especially in lower cost properties. I think there's two prongs to dealing with vandalism, and we have not had much success, actually. We've had good luck and bad luck. Good luck in the sense that for some reason people just don't vandalize as much, and bad luck in areas with just a lot of vandalism. But maybe universities out there could do a bit of study as to why certain areas attract more vandalism and certain areas less. I think that would be an interesting research to read. But now, dealing with vandalism, it's two-pronged. One is community building, and the second is enforcement. So enforcement is the one that comes to a lot of our minds, you know, especially English-speaking, middle-class people. When we see things go wrong, we always blame enforcement. Enforcement is not strong enough. And yes, enforcement is needed. If you have no enforcement in the flats, people just throw rubbish all over the place, people deface walls, people vandalize lifts, and having enforcement around, plainclothes enforcement around, catching people, puts an element of like, okay, if I do something wrong, if I am a vandal in this flat, I could get caught. And that's important. So you need to have that deterrent, the carrot and the stick. But then the carrot part. Let's look at community building. Now, a lot of times, people who live in flats, they live in isolation. You've got every house living its own life. And you've got parents maybe too preoccupied with work, or maybe they're drunk or on drugs. This is the sad reality. But for some reason, you've got many teenagers, children, which are in homes without parents, absentee parents. And if you don't have some kind of community building effort in that area, it's difficult to rein in everyone. And then you're going to have bad hats. But if you have community building, have someone bringing people together with sports or with other activities and building relationship among everyone who lives in that particular area, that particular block or that particular group of blocks, then people are less likely to damage the lift or break a water meter or something. If they feel a sense of belonging to that community, like this is our community. And one of the things that we are doing in Selangor now is that we have started this effort called Team Selangor, where Selangor government is helping volunteers. So if your group is saying like, let's do something, let's paint the community hall, or let's create a vegetable patch, or let's create a flower garden, or let's create this or that, but we're doing it as a community. So the Selangor government is funding the cost, your hardware cost. So I just did one in a low-cost flat. They have a community hall that is quite run down and not really in use. So, okay, let's sponsor the paint, paintbrushes and lunch. And people come, okay, community, you come together and we paint it together. Like, let's create that sense of community. That was very... Well, the good part is there were people willing to do that. And the bad part was, by and large, most of the residents didn't bother. So the small group of people that cared, to me, is the start of the community. Now, hopefully, by next year, they would have attracted more people. And the whatever projects that are done 6 months and 12 months down the road would have more people involved. So there's probably, 300-400 people in that particular low-cost development. Not even 50 people come together. In fact, not even 20 houses come together for this community works. But if it grows, and let's say you get 200 coming together, then the sense of belonging, the sense of ownership, that this is our home, this is our village, and let's take care of it together, that sense of ownership is bound to increase and vandalism is bound to come down.
Your final message on how to solve... Maintaining local spots.
This is going to be a pet project of mine, I guess. Pet issue that I'm going to push for. We have seen that in Singapore, as an example, where government maintains HDB flats, maintenance is top notch. Now, it's much easier when government maintains compared to when the respective MCs or JMBs have to maintain, because when government maintains, you set the standard. You set the thing like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to maintain. We're going to do this maintenance on the lift every month. We're going to do this maintenance on the water tank every 3 months. We're going to do sweeping of the floor every day. We're going to do washing of the floor and the walls or whatnot every month. You have a schedule. You keep to it. You have a decent level of maintenance round the clock. And when all the flats are maintained decently around the clock, you have a good living environment for these people. And I think that itself is already a very good thing to achieve. But more than that, you create a healthier environment where people are, do not have that much ill feeling toward each other, and you build better community living, and you start to promote, I think, good values there. And most of all, you don't push people out, because a lot of flats that are very run down, what happens is in the end, Malaysians just leave and then they move elsewhere and foreigners just move in and fill up that vacuum. And then Malaysians who move elsewhere end up having to pay higher rent because they're pushed upwards. Not because they've got the luxury of extra disposable income, but they feel like they have no choice. They have to push themselves upwards because they just don't want their 3 kids living in such an environment. So for the well-being of this group, that it's not a small group, 180,000 low-cost flats, another 100,000 medium-cost flats, that's 280,000 families, 280,000 homes, that's over a million people in Selangor itself, and many more millions in all other states put together. It's a large group of people that have been, I would say, neglected by the current system.
Well, I wish you all the best in getting this implemented in Selangor.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.